cliffcentral.com.
Yes, indeed. If you are a collector of strange and unusual things and you want to share that collection with us, we love it. We want to hear all about it. We've had some very, very interesting and sometimes a little bit bizarre people join us to tell us about their collections. So we want to hear about yours. Give us a call or drop us an email. Best way to do it is contact@cliffcentral.com. We want to hear from you. And if you know someone who's got an interesting collection, we can talk them into it. Just give us their details and we'll get them on the line. Dumiso Lindy's here and Simpiwe and Tatwa. We are busy on a Wednesday morning, the first day of June, and I got things to talk about. So I believe one of the things you picked up skills-wise during lockdown, Dumiso, was gardening. Is this something, is this something that, sorry to say it, but it's usually old people who do this stuff. It's like we were comparing cell phone covers just now and we realized we're old. You're gardening? So what, are you gardening? Are you growing vegetables or are you just gardening with pretty things?
Yo, Gareth, I'm growing everything I'm eating. If it has a seed, I am growing it in the soil.
Really? Have you discovered you're quite good at this?
No, and it happens by default actually, because my wife, mm-hmm. she started a bit of small gardening happening, but she wasn't looking after it. So I ended up looking after it. It was literally during lockdown, and then I would buy like a 3-tier planter, and then I would start a raised garden. And then it just started slow planting herbs. My wife likes using a lot of herbs when she's cooking. Mm. So a bit of basil there, a bit of coriander, a bit of thyme, this and that. Then I started planting these things, you know. So, and then I'm also saving a lot of avocado seeds. Uh-huh. Now I've got avocado plants all over my house.
Well, it's gonna
growing.
How long is it gonna take before those avocado plants produce avos? Because I've seen avo trees; they have to be huge. I mean, you're gonna need a new yard for just the avo trees.
Exactly. I'm literally saving these for my new house when I have a house, bigger house in the future. But I'm literally growing everything. Like we have lettuce, we have spinach. We have chilies, green pepper. We have, but then when it comes to herbs, basil, coriander. I forgot the other one, but it looks like coriander. I just forgot the name. Yeah. Literally. And then I'm also growing pineapple. I know that that's gonna take another 2 to 3 years to see the results, but I'm just enjoying it. It's like literally just waiting for the government to do something. You know?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what. We may make fun of people who learnt to do things like gardening, because it might not be everybody's skill. I mean, I can't really claim to be a good gardener. Every vegetable garden I've tried to plant has been a disaster. The only thing that happens is that the stuff that I leave and I don't do anything to, that keeps growing. Like there's this one tomato plant that just won't die. And I planted mint like 8 years ago, and I thought it was gone. And then it crops up every year. And there's like some mint leaves, which is quite cool, but I'm no way talented. You know, the best thing is though to actually have a backup plan, because if you're growing your own tomatoes, cucumbers, lettuce, spinach, you know, if you've got all that stuff going on in your garden, you probably won't need to spend as much as you do at the shops. So again, it's a good thing to have if you've got space. And remember, there are people who do this in balconies. They hang a box outside the window, and they grow enough to, you know, add to a salad or whatever. I think it's a good idea. Carrots, they can grow easily. Do it.
True. Oh, man, my wife really appreciates the herbs part and the spinach, and that we save a lot of money on that because it's there.
Right.
Then you start thinking, what else can I grow? There's a wasted potato there. Let me just take that quickly and see what happens.
And so have you...
It's just been like that.
Have you grown anything that surprised you?
Yeah. Wait, I'll tell you now. Mango.
Mango?
Wait, you have a full fruits and veggies in your garden. Mango!
Yeah, I chowed mango, and then the seed was just on my plate there. Then I was like, throw this away or see what I can do with it. I opened it, and there's an actual seed inside with a mango. So I opened. I'm that guy now who watches YouTube videos about gardening, you know, how to grow this and that, you know.
Wow.
So, and then how to germinate a seed fast. So I took it, and then I wrapped it with toilet paper. And then you water it, like you make it damp. Jeez. And then you put it in a plastic bag, and then you put it somewhere dark for a while. I just forget about it. And then I come visit it after like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or so. And there's a stem coming out and a root also coming out on the other side. And then I planted it. Now it's an actual plant.
That's phenomenal. And you learned this all on YouTube?
YouTube, bro. Brilliant. I promise you. Most That's of it brilliant. Is YouTube. Yeah.
Wow. I'm very, very impressed. I have to tell you, I don't think this is, you know, normally in the old days, I might have mocked someone who had gardening as a hobby. Now I'm like, you've got plans for the future. You'll be able to look up, you'll be able to look after yourself when, you know, all the shops close down and they take away the rand, or they shut down the world economy again. You'll be fine. You've got plans.
There's that sound bit from Instagram Reels that says, I used to be hip and happening. Now I take pictures with plants.
Right.
That's your life.
That's my life now.
Melanie says, I picked up gardening since the pandemic started. My garden is looking fabulous. I did not have green fingers at all prior to this. So you see, you can learn. That's good.
Yeah,
that's some good stuff. Parallel Parking says, if you're not growing your own food yet, you will be hungry soon. Once the petrol price raises food prices by 500% in a month, you won't be laughing at gardeners. Listen, I'm being very serious about this with Ndumiso. I'm not mocking him at all. I think that's absolutely right. My mango seed has germinated. I have an entire tomato and pepper crop also growing onions and garlic and herbs. That's rebellious.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Wow.
Look at this.
Okay.
You guys don't understand the satisfaction you get when that stem just pops up.
Mm?
You like, did I just do that?
So, you know? can you start growing things in winter as well, or do you have to wait until spring?
So you start. So now, because you're gonna get into it and start watching more YouTube videos or reading about it, then you start knowing what to plant when and what time. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. So my coriander used to die a lot. Like, that is one seed that gave me a hard time. Shame. I'll buy coriander seedlings and then it'd die. But die. Then I was like, okay, let me do my research. Then I found out, the way I put it is the problem, not direct sunlight. Yeah, mm-hmm. And also hours. How many hours do you put it out there in the sun and then give it some shade? So you have to balance it. Now it's flourishing. It's a slay queen now, proper. So,
Are you putting them into little pots, or are you putting them straight into the ground?
So it starts off in pots. From seedlings, and then it grows, and then I take it out from the small pot to a bigger one. I don't want to put it in the ground because, hey, what if we decide to sell this house and then I leave my babies? I'm not leaving my babies. I'm taking them with me.
You see, you're
a plant dude now.
You're 100%.
My babies. Oh.
My babies. I've never heard anyone talk like, this is crazy, but I love it. All right, very good. Bronwyn, whose surname is Spring, ironically, says, there's nothing better than going into your garden and picking your own homegrown veg to make supper.
Yeah,
absolutely.
True.
Absolutely. The basic herbs, says Tracy, are pretty easy. Nothing beats cooking with freshly harvested herbs from your garden. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, I bought some of those things the other day. You know, if you realize how expensive stuff is when you haven't been to Woolworths for a while and you go back there. Because I must
Woolworths.
Tell you.
Woolworths is expensive.
unless you cashed your Bitcoin out when it was $60,000, just don't go shopping. Crazy. It's really, really bad. All right. So before we get to talking about more economic realities, because I think that this is something a lot of us are dealing with at the moment. And who knew, Ndumiso, that we'd get you on this morning and you'd help us to find a way to save money by growing our own stuff. Snaye says, I started a garden on my balcony 2 months ago. I got carried away. I ended up making crates to plant more crops and a garden table out of a tire. My garden looks fabulous. You see? Snaye, that's very, very sharp.
Oh, wow.
I love this. I love this. All right. So we can see, like, lots of people are thinking about this stuff. Those are the people who will survive if there's a sudden problem, you know, like another coronavirus or whatever.
What's crazy is my older brother saw what I was doing, came to visit, and he saw what I was doing. Back home, our yard is big, you know, literally is huge, you know. So my dad used to take look after the garden or hire someone to do it. But now it's just dead since he passed on 3 or 4 years ago. It's just dead. There's no life there. So my brother's
where's your home farm?
Home is in King Williamstown in Eastern Cape. Literally, we are right next to the banks of the Buffalo River, you know.
Wow.
So that soil is just rich, but when you don't look after it, it just becomes dead. Nothing grows. So my brother sees this and he's like, oh, so you've always had this talent. So you need to go home, spend a week and fix that garden that our dad left. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you should. He's got a point. You seem to you got the hang of it now. But I do want to throw this in quickly. Apparently, there's a new craze that's going on. We've all heard of Wordle. Wordle was a thing that we've discussed on the show a couple of times. This thing where you fill in five random letters, and you sometimes make a word. It takes you 3 or 4 times to get it right. If you get a letter, it comes up green. If it's in the right place, if you get a letter, it comes up yellow. Get it in the right place, it comes up green. But now there's a new kind of game that Simpiwe, obviously Simpiwe, she's always on the trends. She always knows what's happening. She's way cooler. Except she should have got on this trend with gardening, because then she would be the smartest person ever. So what is the new trend, Simpiwe? Tell us.
So I wouldn't say I've hopped onto this trend, but I heard someone talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's similar to Wordle, but it's now, if you're into movies, first and foremost, this is for people that are into movies and they know the movie posters. It's similar to Wordle, but it's all about the posters. And what it does is that it blurs out this movie poster, and you have like 20 seconds to figure it out. And as the time goes, it kind of gets a bit more clearer and clearer and clearer, and you have like 3 or 4 chances to try figure out what movie it is. It's not as difficult as Wordle, but I mean, you can try that.
I can't do Wordle. I'm no good at Wordle because I get very frustrated. If I don't get the word after like 3 tries, I'm out. I don't have the patience to carry on. So what is this?
Well, this one just waits.
What is it called?
Oh, sorry.
What's it called?
Give me. Oh, sorry. Postal. Yeah, I think so.
How do you spell that?
Postal, okay.
How do you spell it?
P-O-S-T-E-R-D-L-E.
Posturdle. Posturdle.
Yes, that's
all right, let me see if I can find Posturdle.
Similar to Wordle.
Oh, wow. Look at this. Okay. Posturdle.
I think it's 20. Mm-hmm. 20 or 30 seconds you have, and you have like 5 tries to figure out the movie poster.
All right, so I'm going to try for today's. Let's just, I'm going to take a picture of this and show you what they give you as a starting point, and then, I mean, you'll see how hard this thing is. So as Simpiwe says, you get 20 seconds to guess what it is.
Yes.
But this is where you start, and I wonder if anyone would get this. I'm just going to show you this.
Blurred out when you start.
So
a few small seconds.
This is how you start off. And I'm going to try and guess it now while it's going. Let's do this live. Let's see if it works. So that's what you got.
All right.
To start.
Right. Okay.
It's not a lot. So obviously now it's going to clear up for me, but I'll only put up once it's already done. So I'm trying to guess now. I don't know. 18 seconds. 17
isn't that
seconds.
Jaws?
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. It's Jaws. It's Jaws. Oh, my God. I'm going to go with Jaws. Let's see if you're correct here. Okay. Guess Jaws.
All right.
Wait. Back to the game. Hang on. Okay, I'm going to guess here. Let's see. Jaws. You know what? If you get this right, Dumiso, I'll be very impressed.
You're great. This is a game for you.
I think you're correct. I think you're right. You know what? It is. It's Jaws. You are correct. Wow. Dude, that is very impressive.
And you didn't even need like it to clear up.
He got it right at 18 seconds. That's phenomenal. You know your movie posters. Holy shit. That's very impressive.
Man, I used to be I'm a qualified graphic designer, so that's colors and shapes and that's me.
Oh.
What a talent.
Okay, so this game's for you.
What a talent.
This This game is for you.
All right, so I'm going to take that off the screen, show you the final product so you know that he's not making it up. Here's the eventual winning. The winning poster, the winning posterdal entry for this morning is from Dumiso Lindy. There it is, Jaws. So
oh, wow.
It went from that to this. That's incredible. Wow, dude, you've got a talent. I think you're gonna win this one. Go on, let's play the game. Post it all. Okay.
I'll check it out.
Not only is he a great gardener.
I think it's better than the one with the emojis where you have to guess the movie.
Not only is he a great gardener, but he's now also a very fine graphic designer who can guess a poster in 2 seconds. Unbelievable. Very low resolution. How you get from that? That doesn't look like...
Dude.
It's incredible.
I was like, okay, wait, there's blue. Okay, let's just give it some time. Let's see if it clears up a bit. No. Jaws. Okay. I want you on my team next time. Thank you very much.
Cabello says that the reason that you got that right is because you're wearing special glasses, Tumiso.
I'm not Superman. Yeah, please.
hiding your real personality in there. I like it. So just going back to the gardens for a second, Dogoza says, I'm planning on starting a garden on my balcony, but I'm worried that the monkeys will harvest my crops for me. Because you live in...
Is he from Durban?
Yeah, he lives in KZN. So that's going to be
KZN,
a problem.
KZN, yeah.
Mm. Oh, hectic.
Yeah.
I bet you none of your YouTube videos tell you how to deal with monkeys.
No. Not at all.
No. Maybe someone should start that channel and then, you know, they'll get a whole lot of subscribers and maybe make some money from it. Maybe that's an idea.
What would you do for monkeys, though? I mean, I suppose you could use a pellet gun or a ketty or something to just shoot them with stuff. They might
learn
that way.
What he needs to do is need to put 2 big speakers in his balcony and sensors. Every time a monkey jumps... on his balcony, Sister Bettina should start. In the meantime,
Sister Bettina.
No, the entire complex will be in shambles as soon as that drops. He made it. Someone are like, hey. The whole entire complex, great. Everyone's losing their minds.
Oh, man.
Hey, people's wives
are just imagine when the monkeys get used to that sound.
Oh, that's great. So here are some serious suggestions. Parallel parking says use plastic snakes. Apparently that'll scare the monkeys away. Yeah, but until they realize they're plastic, obviously.
Yeah, true.
But that's a good point. I mean, that's a good one to use. It's better than nothing. Get some plastic snakes. I know someone who keeps a plastic snake in the back of their car, and no one goes near the car. No one.
Wait, guys. Wait, let me share this because this gets me all the time. So in the parking lot by the office, I usually am the first one in and like the last one out. Mm-hmm. But there's this guy who drives this red Golf. And every time I leave in the evening and my lights just kind of see that other car, I always see the scary looking like, I don't know,
what is
mask it? On the seat of the car. The car is empty, but it always scares me. I'm always like, because it feels like there's someone there, and then I like look, and there's no one. And apparently, that helps so that your car doesn't get stolen. Because when they flash lights, it looks like there's someone in there. It's super scary.
But is the mask? Like, I get is the mask the on the headrest of the seat?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like this white mask. It's so scary. I'm just like, guys, there's someone in there. And then I went to check it again, and there was no one. It's to help so that the car doesn't get stolen. It's, guys.
That do you know, there was a song owner in our area where I grew up. He used to keep his snake. Back then, like a baby python. Mm-hmm. He's probably big now. But he used to keep it in his back seat. And it worked. They never stole his car. You just... There. Everyone knew about it. Yeah.
That's a snake.
I heard the most incredible story over the weekend. I don't know if it's true I have no reason to not believe it, but apparently there's this guy who got sick and tired of, like, farm attacks in his area. So he built this like a double fence around the house of his property. Like, he didn't build it around the whole farm, but around the house, he built these two fences that were about 3 or 4 meters apart, right? And in the fences, he put two lions. He bought two lions, and he put the lions in between the two fences. So if anyone was going to try and break in, they'd have to get past the lions. And he only put the lions in there at night. So during the day,
that's next level.
They had their own kind of area to live in, where it was obviously part of a game farm or something. But at night, they would come in because he'd give them meat there. But just a little bit of meat, so they were still hungry. And then they'd patrol around. Now, talk about a watchdog. I mean, if you want a watchdog, I don't think it gets much better than that, right? Carl says, yes, I've seen the scary mask thing as well. Maybe it's even the same guy. I love that.
But it gets me all the time.
Hmm? The things that people will come up with, I mean, it's very creative, huh? You've got to admit, like, for people to come up with these masks and the snake on the back seat and the sangoma with the python. I mean, look, people are sick and tired of other people stealing their shit. They're like, I'll just get some dangerous animal between me and you. Or if it's a fake animal, I'll try and convince you it's real. It's bloody amazing.
That's true.
All right, so nobody in South Africa is immune from the petrol price hike, and everybody's talking about it. So as I mentioned earlier, it's going up by a lot in each category, whether you're filling up with diesel, petrol, 93 or 95, illuminating paraffin, whatever it is, it's going to cost a whole lot more. And people are very pissed off about this, but there's really not too much we can do, or is there? Well, we'll have to find out from Leighton Beard, who's going to be joining us in just a moment or two. He's from the Automobile Association. We can also ask him about a bunch of other things. We were talking yesterday about that new Greyston interchange that they want to build, which obviously he'll know about. There are also lots of people talking about other things to do with traffic. I don't know if you saw, but thanks to Dory yesterday in the meeting that we had, she told me about these articles that have been written between Figile Mbalula and Stephen Grotes. They have been going at each other like you cannot believe. So Stephen Grotes basically wrote this article after he'd interviewed Figile on the show. Mm-hmm. So it's ironic. I was talking yesterday about how Figile just messaged me out of the blue, but I didn't know all of this was going on. So apparently Stephen Grotes basically told Figile he's just a liar and he's basically useless. And it's pathetic how Cyril can't get rid of him. And he was pretty scathing. But he didn't say anything that Figile was able to say was untrue, was a blatant lie. Anyway, so since then, Figile got to write a reply in the Daily Maverick, which is also quite scathing of Stephen Grotes. And the two of them were going at each other on social media. And then, yesterday, Branko, who is the editor-in-chief of the Daily Maverick, he wrote an article in which he also went at Figile Mbalula. So Figile is getting it from all sides at the moment. And I don't know whether you feel sympathetic towards him, or whether you couldn't care less, but this is all happening. And we might have some kind of story developing here between these two. And it's obviously something that affects all of us. Clearly, the Department of Transport is one area where people might get some relief. You know, if we had better public transport, it wouldn't cost so much more for people in taxis. And you know what happens when the petrol price goes up? The taxi drivers just ask for more money. You can't sit there in the taxi and go, no, this isn't fair. I don't want to pay the government levy. They'll just throw you out of the taxi. And then, of course, they just give the taxi money to the taxi owners, and they get to keep a very small piece of this. So these are all things we'll discuss with Leighton in just a short while. We used to catch a monkey and paint it. Listen to this, Michael. He says, we used to catch a monkey, paint it, weight, and let it loose. It only worked with criminals. I don't know what that means.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you try and hold a monkey still and paint it. Hey, boy. I don't think that's going to happen.
It's a lot of work.
Listen to those monkeys. If you've ever been in Durban and you've seen how these things will steal, they'll come into your house and take fruit and vegetables out of the kitchen. They'll come into your house and take things off the the table while it's sitting there. These monkeys are not afraid.
Oh. Yeah, they have a bit of an attitude. It's almost like, look at me, what you gonna do about it?
These little gray vervet monkeys, those are the ones I'm talking about. And they're sharp, they're fast, they're small. They can take anything from you. By the time you've turned around and realized what's going on, they're already out of the house again. Yeah, dangerous things, those. All right, so someone says here, it's Ruth. She says, yeah, it's very suspicious that taxis were not up in arms about the petrol increase. Well, all they do is pass it on to the consumer. So why would they be up in arms? Because for them, it doesn't mean a change in their pricing. It just means that the passenger has to pay more for the fuel.
Pay more. Yeah. And crazy thing is, it's going to go up. Yeah, it's going to go up.
It never comes down.
It never comes down. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the taxi world. Like, one day the petrol can go down by 5 rand. If the taxi is 15 rand, it will stay 15 rand. Yeah. It'll never go down.
Isn't that also true for food prices? You never see food prices come down after the petrol price comes down. You never see people that go, it's costing, it's costing us 2 rand less per, kilogram of whatever. So we'll charge you 2 rand. It never happens. They just keep that money in the kitty after it does come down. The KZN looters learned their trade from the local monkeys, says Parallel Parking. That's probably true because they're just as quick. So I wonder about that. Now, before we get to Leighton, there's one other thing that Dumiso's got back into. You got back into boxing.
Yay! Yeah, well, what time is it now? Is it past 7 or...
Yeah, it's after
anytime
7.
Now, man. Yeah. After you guys, I'm going. My trainer is going to arrive. So my trainer, shout out to Tamani, he used to have a boxing gym with his friend that they were running in where in my area, but because of COVID it closed down, he didn't survive, so now he literally goes to the personal training, comes to our houses basically.
Nice.
So does an hour here, does an hour there, does an hour there.
Brilliant.
This guy, man, he trains me like I have an upcoming fight.
That's like phenomenal.
I'm gonna fight tomorrow or next week. He literally trains me like a fighter. You know what I mean? And if I make any mistakes, he doesn't even say, now, do this, do that. He beats me up. Like, literally, if we've been doing padding and I drop, my God, he doesn't say, guard up or whatever. I just feel a right or a left coming from my chin. You open! Bah! Ah! Now, I'm guarded. You know, I'm here, bro. Like, I'm ready for a fight any day. But, hey, man, I'm 41. I'm not fighting anybody because I know a punch. A punch now lands and then it downloads the whole week. So I'm not about that life.
But
I'm enjoying my boxing.
I mean, between the boxing and the planting of vegetables and fruit.
You did it all. You're doing it all.
you are who we all should be after the pandemic. It's like you've learned lessons. Dude, you've learned lessons that the rest of us can't even compete with.
I have. I was one of those guys who gained during lockdown. I was just slow and sluggish, and then I just decided because I've been doing boxing training for like 4 years or 5 years, and then I would stop. I stopped during the pandemic because I wanted to save money, and then last year, 2021, called my trainer up, and I was like, yo, what can we do? He's like, hey, okay, cool. I'll give you a special price list and let's do it. Let's do this and that. And I'm like, cool.
So clever.
Let's do it twice a week. Now we do it 4 times a week,
You must be very fit because boxing will keep you in pretty damn good shape. I mean, I'm feeling very useless at the moment because with having had a cold on Monday morning, today will be the third day in a row. And I'm going to actually get back to training today because I can't sit around. If I feel like I'm getting fat and lazy, it kills me, man.
Yeah. Ah, man. One thing I realized about myself is I have strong legs.
Yeah.
But a weak upper body. So if you go running, track, I'm good. Well, I keep up.
Sure.
But the problem starts with push-ups and all those kind of top
exercise. Horrible. But now I'm getting into it. Like we, because he's trying to kill my stomach. Not that I have a big stomach or anything, but he's like trying to get that six pack coming out from the from the pot belly. So yeah, it's painful, but I'm enjoying it. Yo, man, I enjoy, even when I'm watching boxing now, I used to watch boxing matches, yeah, now and then, but now I watch it with that eye because I know it's like a dance. You like, well, I know the combinations.
I mean,
I know the footwork. I know, yeah.
Cabello says here that sounds abusive the way that he's training you, but actually, you have to be afraid of those punches landing. Otherwise, you won't.
You have to.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's doing you a favor.
Yeah. Yeah. So the whole thing about boxing is just keep guarded. All the chin, guard your chin, guard your ribs. You know, so it's not like he beats me because he wants to knock me out. It's just to, your mind needs to remember, you know, when you throw a punch, you must come back here. Don't throw a punch and then drop your head, you know. So yeah, it's just the whole thing of just remember, you know. So I'm enjoying it. I'm not training to fight Casper. These people must stop watching my videos on Instagram.
Are they telling you?
They're like, hey, are you ready for Casper? I'm like, hey, leave me alone.
Well, I mean, isn't one of the reasons that Madiba stayed so fat, so thin and so fit, was because he was boxing and he used to practice his boxing all the time. Even after he got out of jail, he was an old man by then, but it was something he would do to move around a bit, right?
True. Man, I would recommend it for everybody because I'm that person who doesn't know what to do when they go to gym. I'll do the treadmill, and then I don't know after that. I'm like, I just look around. Okay, let me go that corner.
So
boxing is personal training straight through.
Yeah, I had a personal trainer a couple of years ago, and she kind of showed me around and told me what to do. She was, I say she, and then people laugh, but she was tougher than any male personal trainer I've ever had. And she used to teach me what you had to do with the weights because she would see me doing something and she just started laughing at me. And I was like, thanks very much. You know when you get trained by humiliation, that was what it was. She'd say, you're an idiot. Look, you don't know how to use the equipment. This is what you do. So now when I go to the gym, which I try to do, you know, since the lockdown has ended, it's something I prefer because you can only do so many things at home. You know, you don't have all the equipment and all that stuff. And I don't have a personal trainer at home like you have now. By the way, kudos to the guy who's turned his business into going to your house to train you. That is clever. That's a very smart move. So, I mean, you just have to find something to keep you fit. And I'll tell you what, boxing has got to be the best for, because you're moving on your feet the whole time. You're keeping your hands up. You're learning how to punch. So it's actually teaching you some useful skills at the same time. I think it's terrific. It's probably the best.
Vutzarko
says, you're not going to like this, Dumiso, says, you're only a boxer after you've had your first amateur fight. Any plans to do that?
No.
It's just for fitness.
Just for fitness. Just more for my well-being. So yeah, I'm not about to go into a ring with anybody. We used to do sparring in his old gym, but now, nah, I'm good with the just training.
Karen Bowers says, I also love boxing. It is the best exercise. Sanella says, what that kind of training that you're doing, and Dumiso, is called tough love. Like when your mom slapped you, it was good for you. All right. Yeah, listen, anything you can do. EP47 says, I boxed for the first time in years at a place called Ilovo. Rough sport, especially on a Champions League final evening. I don't think that's the kind we're talking about. Apparently, there is a muscle along your rib cage called the boxer's muscle. That's the more common term for it. Check it out. And discover the benefits of relaxing that muscle. So is that one that you would tighten up if people are going to hit you in the ribs? I imagine that's what
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Have you ever seen Mike Tyson's signature move?
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
So it's two hooks. Mm-hmm. So it's a lower to the rib, and then you're going to drop your guard, and then to the face. Literally, every move. You should check his fights.
Really?
It's literally, it's one, two.
Amazing.
Check his fights. That was his. If he's not hooking the second one, he is. It's an uppercut. So it's one to the rib and then uppercut, or one to the rib and then to your chin.
Is that going to be your modus operandi if anyone assaults you in the street? You're going to use the Mike Tyson way of doing this.
Nah, I need to work on my signature move first. I'm not taking anyone's signature move.
Oh man, that's awesome. Yeah, listen, I know people who do a lot of jogging, and you must see how they post these routes. You know, you get these things on social media from these people who do running, and then they show you the snaking thing around them, and it says like 20 kilometers, and I go, what? This person's running 20 kilometers at 6 in the morning. They've got to be insane.
Yes, and I'm just happy with just 3 kilometers. Like, oh, I feel like I did something just around the block. So you're going to tell me with 20 kilometers. Nope.
There's no way. Not there yet. There's no way. I mean, you've got to realize also, like, I've given up on trying to prove to myself I'll ever be able to do that. There's no way in the history of the world, in all the future possibilities, that I would ever find myself running. I've tried 3 kilometers once when I was doing this thing in Cape Town, and 3 kilometers almost killed me. I felt like I'd run out of breath for the rest of my life. There was no way I was going to get my breath back. Hectic. No, very hectic. So apparently this muscle that EP47 is talking about is responsible for your reach, and if relaxed, it will increase power and reach. If you work on it, you will discover massive relief in back, hip, and neck pain.
Oh, wow. I didn't know this.
I think he's making it up. I think it's bullshit.
No, I didn't know this.
I'm telling you it's bullshit. Oh, well, the worst part of your day, if you've just woken up, the worst part of your day is over, because getting out of a warm bed is the only thing that we really hate about this winter morning nonsense. Every other thing you can deal with. So if you get the worst thing in your day done first, then you're probably doing fine. I get out, and then I just, from there on, the day gets better. Because the moment you've actually decided, all right, got to get out of these nice warm blankets, you stick your arm out, maybe you stick your leg out, you don't like this at all. And then once you've made it to the bathroom, then you're okay. From there on, you can handle.
Oh, it's always a struggle, every morning. Sometimes my trainer doesn't even stick to the time we decided on. So if I say, yo man, let's do 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And then you rock up like 8:30 or 8 o'clock and then send a message.
So you might still be
like, I'm outside.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I'm outside. You're like, what? So jump out of bed. I know that struggle of fighting with the weather and the blankets, like, oh, it's so cold. And yeah. You don't get used to that.
Hey, Simpiwe, have we managed to find Leighton? Have you found him? Okay, she's busy talking to him at the moment. Managed to find Leighton Beard? Where is he? Because we were waiting for him for like 15 minutes.
He should be joining shortly. Okay. I was doing in the background. But he should be joining shortly.
All right. Because I wanted to talk to him for a while. Looks like we've only got like 10, 15 minutes left if he gets on now. So he better hurry up. He better get on his... You know, from the Automobile Association, he can't run late, you know? That would be bad.
It's not a good look.
No, it's not a good look. Yes, you know what else I bought yesterday is tissues, which I never use in the summer. I've got a box here. I've been through. Look how little is left here. I've got like 5 or 6 tissues left in the first 2 days of this week. I've been like a snot factory. It's disgusting. Disgusting. You're going to be thrown out with the trash. I think I've probably put like a whole box of tissues into the rubbish bin over the last 2 days. It's so embarrassing. Ah, here he is.
Nah, and you. That's our struggle.
It's bad. Listen, dude, you know, there are people with real problems. So it's not just us.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Leighton Beard, how are you, sir?
I'm finding you, Gareth.
Good. Nice to see you. I was worried we weren't going to get hold of you this morning. I'm delighted you could join us.
Yeah, sorry, one of those technical issues, but I am here now, Gareth.
No problem. Leighton, good to see you. And listen, you must be very much in demand at the moment because everybody's complaining about the petrol price. We thought we'd just talk to you because you're the expert and not mess around with all these people who we see offering, rubbish explanations about this. Let's just talk about what goes on when the petrol price is actually determined. Because we see all those viral WhatsApp videos, and some of them are accurate and some of them are not. How does it really work, Leighton? Help us understand this. You've just gone on mute. You've got to unmute yourself. Just unmute
yourself.
Oh, it says now your mic isn't connected. So I don't know what's happened
unmute.
There.
Unmute.
We'll just give him a second to figure out how to unmute that. Oh, now he's back off. Okay. This is the struggle of our lives, Ndumi, so you don't have to deal with this every single day. It's fine.
It happens
for the best of us. So we're going to just wait for Leighton for a second because he's the only guy who can really explain this to us. Why are we going to be paying so much more when we go to the petrol station today? And also we'll talk a little bit about road safety in South Africa in general because I don't know that we're getting any better. You know, every year at Easter they publish the Easter death tolls and it's something South Africa is always top of the pops for. It's not something we're proud of, obviously. Leighton, sorry. Hi.
Can you hear me now, Gary?
Yes, loud and clear. All right, so later, how do they figure out the petrol price?
So the question you ask is a very good one, and I think, you know, there's a lot of people pointing fingers at government, saying government is kind of, you know, almost in a way manipulating the situation to their benefit. Let me just say that in South Africa we have what we know as the basic fuel price, and that's the basic price of fuel, and then there are layers of items that get added on top of that. Now, that basic fuel price is essentially the price that changes on a month-by-month basis. And I think at the moment the basic fuel price is somewhere in the region of 14 rand. I'd need to check. So on a base of on a petrol price of around 24 rand, you can see that your basic fuel price is around 14 rand, and then you've got all these layers that get added to it. that's the first thing. The layers that get added to it are things like storage costs, their wholesale costs, their retail margins. These are the people who get paid along the way from the point that we get paid for this basic fuel price to the time or that we pay for the fuel that comes to South Africa to store it in South Africa, to refine it and to transport it. There's obviously costs involved. And then you've got these two, as you would well know, these two very big taxes that get added onto a liter of fuel. And that then gives you basically the fuel price that you pay at the end of the day. A critical point to note, though, Garrett, is that South Africa is not alone in this. I mean, people seem to think that, you know, in South Africa, when we pay these high fuel prices, we are almost in a way isolated from the rest of the world, and this is only a South Africa problem. It is absolutely not a South Africa problem. It's an issue that is facing almost every country in the world, including North America, including Europe, where cost of living is becoming a huge, huge issue. So we're not isolated. We're not alone. So this is something that's happening all over the place.
Something that confuses many of us is the difference between the petrol price or the diesel price at the coast and inland. Is that also to do with the storage that you were talking about and the transportation?
It has mostly to do with the transportation of how you get it from where it is refined to the place where you're going to sell it. So that obviously is a transportation issue. And that gets added to the price. I mean, there's the country is split into different zones in terms of fuel. And you've got zone A1, zone B, zone whatever. And these zones are determined by the Central Energy Fund and government. And based on where the fuel is transported to a specific zone, they will have a zone loading on that. And that will obviously make the fuel more expensive. Just to give an example, if you were in Limpopo, the fuel there would be a lot more expensive than what it is in Gauteng, simply because it's got to travel a further distance up north.
Okay. All right, so these two taxes, are they egregious? Mm. Are they outrageous? Are they beyond what anyone else in the world is paying? Because we are trying to look at ways to save money, and if we think that government are gouging us, then that would be a good explanation as to why so many people are pissed off.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the word that you used, egregious. I think that in relation to the fuel price, that's probably a very strong word, but I think a word many people would actually use. Look, here's the thing with the levies. You pay 3.93 to the general fuel levy, and you pay 2.18 to the road accident fund levy. Those are the two big levies, and together they comprise 6.11 rand. Now, the general fuel levy, the GFL, generates around 90 billion rand a year to the fiscus. So that money goes from the petrol station to the treasury, and they can use it for whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, the big question is, people say, well, let's just get rid of the GFL. We don't need it. Just scrap it. Well, it's not that simple, because if you're a government that's getting 90 billion rand through a tax that's easy to collect, you not just want to give that 90 billion rand up, you're going to want to keep it, A, and B, you may say, yes, let's get rid of it, but then you're going to look for an alternative funding mechanism, which is really, you know, just creating another way of collecting taxes other than the way that you have. So what's the point of really scrapping it? So there is a payoff. You know, extending the relief that we've had is obviously, you know, for us very welcome, but it's not sustainable. I think the issue that you're raising, Gareth, is a very critical one, and that is, if government is collecting this money, is it spending it wisely? And it raises the issue of corruption, and it raises the issue of misallocation of funds. And I think that that's a question that government needs to answer, because if you're collecting this much money, then you have a duty to ensure that it is spent correctly and that it is seen to be spent correctly. And that also raises this issue of the RAF, the Road Accident Fund. Poorly managed institution. We think more private sector involvement is needed. But if you were to improve the country's road safety record, you'd reduce our reliance on the RAF, which would reduce the reliance on the 218 that comes from the petrol price.
Yeah, I'm sure that Ndumiso and Simpiwe both have questions too. But I just have to throw this one in here, because we seem to have this road accident fund, which is meant to help people who are, you know, really badly hurt in car accidents. It's meant to cover terrible incidents that happen on our roads. Some of it has to do with road safety. Some of it has to do with unroadworthy vehicles. Some of it has to do with the maintenance of the roads themselves. And that's also a big problem in this country. And as you rightly point out, if we get rid of the general fuel levy, then all governments are going to do is find other ways of getting that money out of us. But it's not going to make us any richer. It's not going to help us with our bottom line costs every month. So what is the Road Accident Fund meant to do? And why is it always running on debt? And why is it always losing money if it's such a huge generator of cash?
Yeah. I mean, that's an absolutely brilliant question. I think, and I'm no expert on the RAF, but I'll give it a stab as far as much as I know. The RAF is in strife because of claims payouts into the millions. It will tell you that it is being gouged by unscrupulous operators who are taking advantage of the RAF by putting in claims that are too large. They are, you know, basically stripping it of all its finances. The Road Accident Fund is there to compensate victims of crashes who don't have their own insurance. So if you've been involved in an accident and you are hurt or you're hospitalized, the Road Accident Fund essentially should be there to assist you with those hospital costs and whatever costs you may have afterwards. It's a very noble thing that the government is trying to do. And I mean, obviously, you know, it's very necessary for many, many millions of people. So, I mean, yes, it has a role to play. Is that role that it's playing at the moment being done in the right way? And we don't think that it is. In the claims handling process, it isn't. And in the way that claims are paid out. That's why we say, let's get more private sector involvement. Let's involve insurance companies. Yeah. And say, let's help the RAF out. Let's see what we can do in terms of their management. How do we streamline that organization? But a more critical point, Gareth, if you've got a situation where the Road Traffic Management Corporation, which is the lead agency for road safety in South Africa, has a surplus of 260 million in one of its financial years, and you have the Gauteng Roads Department, which has 700 million rand unspent, and where you're paying 2 billion rand a year, 2 billion with a B, to places like the Gautrain and to a private concessionaire, Bombela, you've got to ask, but why are we not taking that money and spending it on road safety? Right. And educating every single kid in the school in the country about road safety from the age of three. What is a road sign? What is a road marking? How do you walk across roads?
Yeah, especially when we consider how many people in this country die from pedestrian deaths. It's higher than the number 100%. Higher than the number of people who die in car accidents.
Exactly. It's absolutely the point, Gareth. I mean, pedestrians are the most at-risk road user in South Africa. Now you've got that situation, and you know, the RTMC itself is saying if we reduce, but the cost of crashes, the cost of a crash in South Africa, the cost of crashes over a year is costing our economy 190 billion rand a year. That's in police fees, nurses, cleanups, you know, 190. So our argument is, let's reduce our reliance on the RAF by improving road safety, make the road safety, take money that we have, pump it into education, awareness campaigns. Let's take those 13,500 lives we lose a year and reduce it to 500, and let's ensure that we don't have this reliance on the RAF, and then we can start looking at taking that out of the fuel price. And people say, yeah, but you're going on a bit of a rant. No, it's a very direct link. You reduce road safety, you make our road safety, we don't ever need to pay 2.18 to the RAF.
Right.
Simple as
that. Oh, wow. Sure. Wow. Quick question with all that you've just said. What are your thoughts on the Greyston interchange revamp then?
Look, I think, you know, the AA's view is that anything that is going to be beneficial to consumers and to road users is something that we will support. So the Greyston Road revamp, I think, is long overdue. And anybody who's ever used that road will tell you what a mess. And I'm using very polite language, and I know Gareth wouldn't, but it's a nightmare sometimes. So, yes, I think it's absolutely necessary. I think as South Africans, we need to sometimes understand, you know, we can't moan about things like poor roads and interchanges and poor infrastructure. And then when things try to get done to fix them, we say, how the hell can they close that road for 6 months? You know, what the heck? And, you know, we've got to accept that if they're going to fix the road, it's going to be inconvenience to us in the short term, but the long term is going to be beneficial. So we absolutely think it's a great idea. We wish it would happen on more roads, but yes, I think it's a good plan.
Yeah, I'm also worried about the fact that when petrol goes up, everything else goes up. So we've got a knock-on effect here. And let's look at the big international picture, because a lot of this is not the government's fault. And I'm not trying to go into bat for them. Obviously, you know, many people in this country are rightly suspicious of government. But Leighton, the problem is we have a shortage of fuel and an irregular supply of it, because Russia-Ukraine is going on. Joe Biden refuses to drill for more oil. They're not opening up concessions all over the United States, which would make them energy independent and therefore free up more oil for the rest of the world. So it's a supply and demand thing too, right?
No, 100%. And I think you make a very good point, Gareth, just to touch on that. You know, our point of view is that if you're going to criticize government, you must do it from a position of credibility. If you're going to criticize government all the time without acknowledging where government gets it right or where they can't do anything about it, then you lose that credibility. And I think in this instance, we do need to credit government, A, for acknowledging there's a problem with the fuel price locally, B, for actually giving us the relief in terms of the 1.50 of the GFL, and C, we need to acknowledge that many of the levers many of the levers that are involved in the fuel price are not at the government's disposal. There's nothing they can do about the international oil price. You know, they can do something about the rand US dollar exchange rate in the sense that they can improve the economy, ensure policy certainty, make this country more investable, that type of thing. But you know, generally speaking, government has got very little power over what happens to the fuel price, except obviously for the levies. But yes, the point that you make about, you know, the fact that, you know, these problems are going to persist, I think is very valid. We don't know how long the situation in the Ukraine is going to continue. And even if it were to end today, would that have an impact on the sanctions against Russia? You know, you mentioned the issues around Biden. There's problems around, you know, the European countries and their outputs and OPEC and all of these different issues. So there's all kinds of pressures bearing down on the fuel price and on the international oil prices. And it's, I mean, people ask me all the time, what's the petrol price going to be like in 2 or 3 months' time? I don't even know what it's going to be tomorrow. So I don't even know what it's going to be in a week or 2 weeks' time. The point is that everything is so volatile at the moment, and we're in a reality that is worldwide, you know, and sometimes we as South Africans, I think, don't want to acknowledge that we're in the same boat as everybody else. But unfortunately, in this case, we just are.
Well, Dumiso, is there anything you want to ask Leighton before we let him go?
No, I think you guys have covered it. I'm just listening to him and then thinking maybe it's time I move to Lesotho and just buy myself a horse.
buy a donkey or a horse. I'm telling you. I mean, Leighton, you guys are obviously on top of a lot of this stuff. Is there any other way we can save fuel? I mean, you get these people who say, well, turn off your heater, air conditioner, your sound system. Do those things really make a difference over the long, you know, the long road?
I mean, very nominal, Gareth. I mean, you know, listen, you know, and I'm probably going to get a lot of hate mail for saying this, but the best way to save fuel is not to use your car. So if you...
Oh, shot.
Genius. You know? So, I mean, and then people say, oh, yeah, it's funny. But look, if you're in a position where you don't have to go into the office, I'm very fortunate at the moment. I go in, you know, twice a week and maybe three times a week. But, you know, we've negotiated that, you know, we can have some sort of a work from home arrangement. And that's something that people may need to start doing. And I think employers may be more open to that, you know, given the situation we're in. Obviously, it doesn't work for everybody. You can't be a nurse, you know, remotely, or a fireman remotely. But there again, you know, things like, can we carpool? Can, you know, you know, is that an option? And one of our big bugbears at the AA is there proper public transport available for people? And that's a real issue, and there isn't. Safe, reliable, sustainable, and affordable public transport. It's something that we critically need. And again, I'll bring it back to the Gautrain thing. You know, we spend 2 billion rand on what is known as the patronage guarantee for the Gautrain. We'd be paying them for not meeting the ridership levels that they said that they would. So, and that comes out of our pockets. We think that money should go to public transport and make it available to people who really need it. So, you know, there's a lot of issues around transport, Gareth.
Yeah.
Carry on for hours.
Yeah. Listen, we appreciate your time this morning. I mean, it's really good to kind of get the truth out of these things, because also there's a lot of nonsense that is being spread around on social media. People believe whatever they want to believe. And there's some things that you just can't do anything about. The cost of living, the cost of the international oil. These are things we've just got to accept. And as you say, if you really want to take this matter into your own hands and you feel you can make changes to your life, which are possible, depending on the job you do, travel a whole lot less, don't drive around every day, save yourself some kilometers, and then you'll save the petrol, which will obviously help your bottom line. Leighton Beard, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gareth. Great to be with you guys.
Great
Thanks
to have you
everybody
on.
Everybody love it.
Leighton Beard is a spokesperson, for the Automobile Association of South Africa. You can obviously find out more about the AA. Just go along to their website. They do a terrific job in South Africa of trying to improve the conditions of so many of us who are on the roads, and so many of us who drive cars, and so many of us who worry about the petrol price. Dumiso, it's always a pleasure to see you, my friend. I hope we see you again soon.
Yeah.
And best of luck with your show this weekend. Don't miss your opportunity to see Dumiso live, along with some real talent from all over the place, including one very, very old man, and a whole lot of people whose names you may recognize already. So don't miss any of that, including Skoomba, who we love to pieces. Have an excellent, excellent week. Dumiso, keep well.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Very good.
I'm all ready for my boxing session now.
Damn right. We will see you. We will see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. bright and early for our Thursday edition, including the Burning Platform. Cheers. Bye bye, everybody. CliffCentral.com.